Welcome back, everybody, to the show. If you're new here, this is A Proper Dose with I'm Nick Santora. And I almost forgot my
did your intro for you. I was like, wait.
Wow. We butchered it today. So far, I don't even know what episode this is. You know what? Let me check. This would be episode, is it 25 or 26? This would be episode 26. Ooh, I can't believe it.
How's everybody doing tonight?
Yeah. It's been a pretty low key week so far.
Yeah. I thought it was Thursday, so.
Yeah. I got a couple things I want to talk about. I guess I'll wait till like midway through before we do we announce the winners for the Roast the Host segment. But for those of you that listen to the playback and don't follow me on Instagram or follow, you know what? Let's get that out of the way first. I created a podcast page on Instagram.
A Proper Dose.
Yep. It's A_proper_dose. And I'm going to start migrating all of my podcast content over there. But until then, I guess I'll be using my regular personal page for now. I don't know how the whole Instagram thing works. I'm sorry, everybody.
Well, like podcast content you post on the podcast page.
That would make sense, wouldn't it? That'd make too much sense.
Yeah.
But
or what you should do is post like clips from the podcast, like on the podcast page.
I think that's what I'll do. I'll start posting.
I mean, that's what most people do, but
the sound bites. And hey, we got Justin in the live stream, Justin Gosselin.
Someone said, is the proper dose a hint towards steroid use?
No, actually, I am the all natty snack daddy.
We're both natty.
For whoever's asking where that name came from, my favorite band is called The Story So Far, and they put out an album recently called A Proper Dose. And it hit me right in the feels, and I was like, yeah, that's my fucking jam. So I used it for a podcast name. If you're listening, any band members from The Story So Far, please don't sue me. I love you guys. So I now have a podcast page on Instagram. We'll be migrating all of the podcast related content, I guess you'd say that way. Mm-hmm. And anything few and far between. We're at 45 followers.
He said it was a syringe that threw me off.
Well, usually when you think of syringe,
like a dose of something.
Yeah, you get a dose, your medication, your vaccine, but if it makes you feel better, we can allude to steroids. We can leave it at that. Justin, I'm disappointed in you too. Justin did not submit anything for the Roast the Host segment tonight.
Wow. I'm shocked.
I'm actually very shocked you didn't. This was supposed to be your moment. But so
hey, Eddie from TikTok.
All right, Justin has a submission. Oh, no. Ooh, that's right up there with the top two. I think we have a three-way tie now.
Oh no.
You know what? We're gonna go in the Roast the Host segment now because those were pretty funny.
What was it?
So everybody that submits something for Roast the Host and I find it hilarious, mm-hmm. you will get a shout out and you will be mentioned on the show because these are just fucking gold sometimes. I got the idea from Reddit.
Oh, like
Reddit has a subreddit on it. It's called Reddit. And then it's like /roast me where you post a picture of yourself and people just go in fucking dry.
Oh yeah. You told me about that.
Yeah. And it's my version of doing that. I think it's hilarious. And what's the point of like having a show if you can't laugh at yourself or have audience participation?
So I agree.
So for the Roast the Host segment, should we have sound effects for these? Mm-hmm. Again, if you didn't catch the last episode, we're broadcasting on a new unit here. We got a Rodecaster Pro. We got all these fancy sound effects. Yeah. Anyways. But Roast the Host. So we have a three-way tie because I thought these were the funniest thing.
Wait, but everyone only roasted you though, right?
Well, I was going to spare you the pain. If you want people to roast you, if that's fine, go ahead. All right, Justin, you have a you're in the running for the three-way tie here.
All right, but, guys, we're doing roast the host.
Yeah, submit your best roast. You can roast Brittany too. She's fair
submit
game.
Submit your roast. Submit.
Roast the fuck out of her. But
podcast gang.
For mine, the first one I got was from my friend Mark at the Retro Fitness in Flemington. He said, "You look like you coach powerlifting out of a trailer park."
Where's the sound effects for that one?
Oh, hold on. Mark, if you're listening. Congratulations. That was a good one. The next roast I have was from my coach. So shout out to Mike Adelante of Adelante Barbell Club. He is busting my stones with this roast. Because and I plug notes in like after every training session, I usually leave notes for him. Mm-hmm. And he's usually asking me like try and gauge the RPE. So yeah. The RPE is your rate of perceived exertion. So I was having a really shitty workout. I got through it, but everything was pretty grindy. So I put RPE death, like I died. And he was like,
like you sent that to him?
Yeah, I just said RPE death. Mm-hmm. And he was like, RPE, he said, hold on, let me go up
his roast.
Yeah, his roast. He was like, post RPE death, but did you die? I thought that one was pretty funny. And he made me feel like a little bitch. So, Coach Maku, if you're listening. Sorry, wrong sound effect. And we have a late entry here from the one and only Justin Gosselin. And this one's, I think, stung the most. It was late, but this one's pretty fucking funny.
It stung the most.
Yeah. He says, "You look like the guy from The Punisher if he did local theater."
What? It's messed up.
Well, I would say when I was leaner, when I actually had a jawline, people always used to say I look like, what's his name? John Bernthal.
Yeah.
From The Punisher. It's a great fucking show. And that was such a huge compliment.
You guys think he looks like John Bernthal?
Not anymore. I'm fucking fat. I don't look like anybody now. I look like a fucking meatball. Hello?
That's very insecure.
Yeah. But that's okay. I know what I look like, and it's okay.
Someone said, "Nick, you're the Terminator."
I'm a pretty shitty Terminator. But Justin, that was a great roast. I have nothing. I have no words for it because that one stung the most. So honestly, I think you won. I think you won this one. Congratulations. The best thing about like the roast the host segment that we're doing now is I feel like people want to say things that they never have the opportunity to say. Oh yeah. You know, before I talk about roast the host, let's just mention how Brit Broad's dying at the moment.
That sounded really bad.
Yeah, you're fucking dying.
I sounded like a nursing home.
You hear your voice?
Mm-hmm. I sounded like a nursing home.
Yeah, by the way.
I think you have bronchitis. Or laryngitis. I'm no doctor, though, as much as you like
to pretend I am. It's a lot of, like, you know, grossness going on. Yeah.
But yeah, you've been very phlegmy lately, not to be gross.
Do you think it's like allergies?
Do you see doctor anywhere on my fucking shirt?
I do.
No.
Oh, my Chipotle has been picked up from the Dasher.
I'm not going to the door, you are.
I'm in the middle of a podcast.
This is my show. Why should I pick up your
Wait,
food?
First of all, my DoorDash specifically says to leave it at the front, so that's what they're going
to
do.
Yeah, but that means you still have to pick it up. Physically.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that. I just don't want to see him.
He's gone. He dropped the food
off.
Yeah,
I know, but you
left.
Usually like to talk to them.
Yeah, I have a bad habit of making friends with DoorDash drivers.
Yeah, he saved someone's life. I think you mentioned that on the last one.
It was a good... That made me feel good. And that's ultimately why we do this podcast. We want people... We encourage people to talk shit, have fun, and really... If we can turn someone's life around or like day, like if we could just make them laugh or smile, then that's my job. That makes me feel better. But no one makes me laugh or smile. No, I'm kidding.
I don't.
No, you do. You make me smile. And scream occasionally. No comment.
I can't believe I'm still dying.
Yeah, you're dying. You're fucking dead. I feel like every time I have you on this show, like whenever it's just me and you, you're always fucking dead.
Like sick?
Yeah, you're either sick.
I feel like ever since the C word, ever since I think I had the C word.
Which you didn't, but okay.
I feel like my immune system just like has gone to shit.
Yeah. I don't know if Adrian's still in the Instagram. No, he's not in the Instagram live anymore, but I wanted to talk about what he's been doing. He's I met Adrian at Diesel Gym. Awesome kid. And he's now taking on clients for powerlifting. And I follow some of the guys he coaches, and they're all getting ridiculously strong. So shout out to Adrian.
Someone said, are you medicated currently, sedated?
Yeah. Are you?
Medicating?
I mean, you had a bunch of NyQuil.
Dayquil. I've been living on Dayquil and NyQuil.
Yeah.
And that seems to take away, like, I wouldn't even say 100% the symptoms, but like half maybe.
I've
been tested for COVID, and I didn't have that, so I don't really know what's going on. I don't have a fever or anything.
I'm actually not going to lie. I'm pretty upset because we both got those at-home COVID kits.
Why, you wanted COVID?
No. I wanted to shove the swab up your nose. But you wouldn't let me do it, so you did it to yourself. I'm like a sick puppy. I like swabbing around up there.
Wait, she said that explains it.
Explains what?
Am I acting like I'm sedated?
Yeah.
That might be the vodka.
Yeah. We do like to drink on this show. It helps calm the nerves.
Shove it.
Who's he telling to shove it to?
Me, I guess.
Oh.
I don't know why. He just wanted to like explain how sick I was and leave.
Yeah. Well, either way. People are fucking ruthless in your Instagram live.
I think that's just Instagram in general.
Yeah, people leave some nasty shit.
Oh, the swab.
Oh yeah, the swab.
Wait, the swab.
Wait,
I did do the swab.
He was saying, I think he means like shove it up your nose, like shove it.
The swab. Mm-hmm. Oh wait, do you think like it didn't go up high enough?
I think it went. Listen,
is that what?
I think you're okay. I think you went deep enough. Like you were tearing when you had it up there. I think
I don't have like COVID symptoms though.
No, not at all.
Like I'd have a fever.
But you are also a hypochondriac. I've never seen anybody take their temperature throughout the day as much
as you. Well, I'm making sure it doesn't like go up.
Yeah, but you don't need to take your temperature fucking 5 times a day.
I'm just taking extra precautions.
Aw.
That's a common problem.
Shout out to Sam Hyman, by the way, from high school. He says, good to see you back. You sexier Joe Rogan. I don't know about sexier.
Joe Rogan's bald, though.
Yeah, Joe Rogan looks like a burnt out penis.
Isn't he like in his 50s now?
I love Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan is nothing but love for you.
Damn, you're going to hear that clip in his podcast now. You're like, have you heard of A Proper Dose?
Yeah, he'd be like, that guy fucking sucks. That's okay. But going back to what I was saying about Adrian and coaching, I'm happy to see him have an influx of clients. Mm-hmm. And all the people he's training, they're all super fucking strong.
Dave said, do I take my daily vitamins? What's funny is as soon as I started taking more vitamins, that's when I got sick.
You missed the opportunity to plug your steel multi, but okay.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's going to go crazy for the steel multi.
Yeah, well, you said it, not me. So what else do we didn't do much this weekend. I mean, we went to Asbury Park.
Yeah.
We went to our first ever rooftop bar. No, second, right?
We've definitely been to more than one rooftop bar.
We've been to one in Manhattan, but we haven't.
What was the one in Manhattan? Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah. Speaking, we went to.
I like rooftop bars.
Okay.
But the vibe there was like different.
It was a little bougie for my taste.
I feel like it was like the people there. Like I felt like there was like people in suits. I just felt like underdressed.
Well, it was awkward because like it looked like there was a bunch of people that were there for a wedding.
Yeah, that's what I was confused about. I was like, are we like in an event or like, I felt like we were crashing someone's like event or something.
Yeah, I feel like they said they didn't do like rentals or whatever, like rent out the top.
Dave said maybe it's a cold. I feel like it's worse than a cold though, because usually with a cold, I don't have that like throat thing going on.
Yeah, again, I think it's either laryngitis or bronchitis, but I'm no doctor.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards like bronchitis, but I don't have a fever, so I don't know.
We'll see. You should go get checked, though, just to...
Yeah.
Take charge of your health, honey.
I feel like the health care isn't that accommodating.
Well, in personal experience, they make you, like, jump through hoops. Oh, shit, I just hit
my mic. Well, it's like...
Yeah.
If I go to the... Like, I can't get an appointment with the primary doctor. It's like, you go to urgent care, you gotta wait for hours. You go to the hospital, you gotta wait for hours.
Right.
It's like, let me know now.
But it's just like... The things that you sometimes need to get, like let's take an MRI, for example, they make you jump through hoops to get one.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you need to have an x-ray first. You need a referral for your MRI. And it's just like, why can't you just schedule an MRI for me? And I'm sure there's a bunch of back end shit that I don't know, but it's annoying sometimes. Like if you can clearly see something's wrong via an x-ray or like a self-assessment.
Yeah.
Just an MRI.
It's over it.
So we got Dylan in the live stream. He says, call 911 and say you have chest pain. You won't wait at all.
Yeah, that's like the only way.
Dylan, I'm going to call shenanigans on that.
Well, no, remember when I went to urgent care because I had side pain and they took me right away because they probably thought it was like my appendix or something.
Yeah, but remember.
They'll take you right away if you're like bleeding.
My dad went to the ER with chest pain and they forgot about him for 2 hours. They like put him
in. Yeah, what if he was having a heart attack? I forgot about that.
Mark, welcome to the Instagram Live. You missed it. We did our Roast the Host segment and you were in the top three. So go back and listen to the playback, my friend. That was funny. But I was a little disappointed. I figured there'd be a lot more roasts. You know, I was hoping for like a lot to have to go through. I only had to go through like 8 or 9.
Did we say all of them?
Well, I got one that was just like, you're fat. And it's like that. Come on. Like, that's not original.
Who said that?
They will not be named. They don't deserve the credit for it.
Okay.
Dylan, my father went to Hunterdon Medical, which is why the healthcare was lacking.
Dave asked if I'm coughing a lot. I say at night, it's even worse.
Yeah, but I think that's due to laying down. And
yeah, like it's definitely drip. Like a nasal drip type.
Yeah. In other news for what's been going on, everyone on the live can see it, but I'm growing the beard back out for the fall. Britt's shaking her head because...
I'm not about the beard.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Why is there Windex next to your drink?
There's... Okay. I have this bottle of Windex here for everyone in the live. The reason being is my fucking cat. I love him to death. But ever since I got this new Rodecaster unit, he has a fascination with
Felix.
With playing and trying to bite the cords. So I find myself, if I leave a spray bottle on the table, he won't jump up here. So that's why I have a bottle of Windex here. And I work remote, and it's just annoying when your animal is...
Great.
Sorry. Trying to do everything. Like, play with all your shit.
So. Someone said you don't like beards.
No, Brittany does not like beards.
Yeah, I'm not really a fan.
Too bad I'm grown one.
Because, like, when you try to kiss, it's, like, hairy. It gets in my mouth.
Well, it's a good thing I have that masculine beard oil. Which you can get at robertfrank615.com. Shout out to Rob. Oh, shit. Rob has his surgery tomorrow.
On our anniversary.
In other news, it's our anniversary tomorrow.
4 years, people.
Yep. We've been together 4 years.
4 years.
Feels like 40.
Is that good or bad?
It's a good thing. I feel like I've known you my whole life.
But I kind of feel like going to like a bougie restaurant.
Of course you do. How bougie we talking?
Bougie as in like
a fancy steakhouse. Or
I want like an outside vibe.
An outside vibe. Okay.
I'm like imagining like Cayman.
Oh, you know what? I have an idea. What if we go to like Wolfgang's?
Where's that?
Somerville. But I don't know if Somerville's still underwater or not.
Oh, I mean, by now, probably not. But
well, last time I talked to Josh, he was saying he drove through Somerville and they were still like, it's not pretty.
Oh, really? Good thing we didn't go there the other day.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like other good restaurants that like have a good vibe. I'll have to look it up later.
Hey, you just tell me where you want to go. I'll make a reservation. Adrian in the chat says Bougie Coffee Shop.
Oh, yeah. The one in, what was the one he was telling us?
Oh, yeah. Adrian, where was that coffee shop you wanted to go to? I remember you. He was saying he wanted to go to a bougie coffee shop last time we were at Diesel. He was telling us we need to educate ourselves on coffee.
I want like an outside vibe with like fire.
With fire. Black Fox Coffee Co.
Is that by him?
I'd assume so.
Dave said Wolfgang's is supposed to be great.
Adrian said any of my coffee lovers go there. We got Ted in the live stream. Ted says $500 per plate.
Where?
I don't know. He didn't list a location.
Is that Wolfgang's?
Yeah.
I love like the bougie like New York restaurants.
Of course you do. I don't because you get like a serving size the size of like.
But it's like the atmosphere.
Yeah, I know. But like, why would I pay that much money for like a piece of
like, you know where I like actually like the vibe at is and it's not even fancy at all, but that place in New Hope, Nectar. I like that vibe.
Nectar's a cool spot. They have the fire.
I like right that outside vibe.
Yeah, you can like sit in the trees. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What did you get last time when you were there? But that's the thing. We go to a bougie place. You don't get bougie food. You get like a burger.
What's the weather supposed to be like? When are we going out to eat? For Saturday?
Saturday.
Hope the weather's supposed to be good. What did you say? What do I like to get for dinner?
Well, if we're going to a bougie place, what are you going to eat?
Probably seafood.
Okay, so we need to make sure the menu has seafood.
It's either seafood or like fancy like pasta or something.
Okay.
Actually, preferably not pasta because I get like really tired afterwards.
You were going to say tie.
Yeah.
Yeah, we like to baby talk to each other.
Like when we got pasta when we went out to
drawing a blank, Cafe Graziano.
Yeah. My brain was just like I was so tired afterwards and I just felt like bloated.
All the portion they give you is ridiculous too.
Yeah, but I just feel like I don't know.
The food was good. It's like nice homemade pasta.
Yeah. I get so tired after pasta.
Yeah. I think everybody does.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know what it is. What your dad, whenever your dad
basically,
makes pasta,
if you eat Italian, there has to be a couch nearby afterwards.
Yeah. It's guaranteed whenever your dad makes pasta.
You know what's
pasta.
Weird though? We weren't that tired after, like when we went to my Aunt Trish's for Christmas. We weren't that tired afterwards. But I think it's because they had like steak and stuff.
Yeah. But also, you know, Trish's, we were consuming lots of alcohol. So you're not going to be tired.
I guess.
And I don't know, but whenever your dad makes pasta, he uses too much garlic and I pass out.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
It makes it taste so good.
Oh, yeah. It tastes amazing. But I
love olive oil.
I just take a nap afterwards.
Like, I could bathe in olive oil.
Are you going to go get your food that was at the door?
It's not here.
You said it was dropped off.
No, they were on their way.
Oh.
Dave said eating pasta makes you feel like a pregnant woman. I agree, but I haven't been pregnant yet.
Not yet. Soon.
What do I look up? Like bougie restaurants?
I think that's very lame to look up bougie restaurants.
No, but like what do you look up when you're looking for like a good restaurant?
Look up like, I don't know. That's a great question.
I guess it depends on like the area
or the rating of the restaurant.
You know where probably has really cute restaurants is like Doylestown. Although I don't know what the deal is with PA with the flooding and everything.
I don't know. We have nobody from Doylestown. So that like listens to the podcast. I don't think they wouldn't be able to comment or tell us.
or else.
I'm in the mood for like a nice steak.
I mean, I'll eat filet mignon.
That would be a nice cut of steak. So.
But still, like, filet mignon's not my favorite.
So you're telling me you want your favorite food for our anniversary?
No.
What do you want?
Yeah, I could, like, I'd mess with some crab cakes.
He fucks with crab cakes?
Yeah. But that's like an appetizer.
Yo, crab cakes fucking, they're good.
What was it? Where were we when I got like that crab pasta? It was like so, oh no, lobster pasta. I think that was in Cayman.
No, you got a lobster bisque when we went to that Marina Grill.
No, but I got lobster pasta at Cayman, I think. When we went to Cayman.
Lobster pasta? You never got lobster pasta in Cayman.
Yeah, I did.
No, you did not.
I got it somewhere. And it was good. That would be like my ideal meal. It would be like seafood pasta.
Lobster pasta.
Lobster pasta.
I take you to Joe's Crab Shack.
So like basically, so basically the menu has to either be like high quality steak or seafood.
Okay.
But like the seafood either has to be lobster or crab.
It's our anniversary. So are we Ubering?
Oh, lobster ravioli. Is that what I had?
I think so.
We should Uber, because then we can relax.
Yeah. We'll see.
I find it ridiculous that you still have to, like, follow restrictions in the Uber.
Yeah, they're, at least the last couple Uber rides we took, they're still making you wear, like, a mask.
Yeah. And that's, like, the worst when you're drinking and everything, and you're like, oh, I gotta put it on.
Yeah, especially if you're, like, got the spins and stuff. The last thing you want to do is put a mask on.
Who has the spins when they're going out?
I'm just saying.
Oh, you mean like coming home? Yeah. I couldn't imagine going home. Like, imagine sitting in the car home with it on.
Yeah. I was shocked at how expensive those drinks were in Asbury Park.
Yeah, I guess they're making up for like COVID, but I feel like last time we went to Asbury, it wasn't that expensive. Well, I guess it depends on the place too. Like, that was a hotel.
It was like a hotel rooftop bar, but like...
But usually like hotels do charge more for their drinks.
Yeah, but they were charging like New York City prices. It was like $12.50 for like a watered down vodka cranberry for you.
Yeah, the drinks... I don't remember the drinks being too strong.
It's great. You go down the street to like Killarney's here, you get that for $4.
I do like Asbury though.
Yeah, Asbury's a nice spot in some areas. There's a lot of cool bars there. What would you say your favorite would be?
Like beach town or just like to go out?
Beach bar.
Beach bar.
Come on, think.
Probably Jenks.
Jenks? Really?
Yeah, like at night in the outside when you're like on the sand and stuff.
All right. I don't like beach bars, but as far as beach town bars go, probably Johnny Mac's.
Oh, yeah, we did that one year. Brian said go to Serena and Long Branch. We did that for...
New Year's.
What was that, New Year's?
Yeah. We did that for New Year's, and we went to Stella Marina for New Year's.
Yeah.
The 2018? Yeah, 2018. We ushered in 2018. Good food.
Yeah.
Sirena had good food, too. You got, what was that? You got, like, a clam pasta at Sirena.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
It was, like, all the shells.
If you're looking for good Italian food, check out Stella Marina in Asbury Park and Sirena Ristorante in Long... It's is it Long aunt. Branch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sirena is in Long Branch.
Yeah. There's also another Stella Marina, if I'm not mistaken. Or they,
I know there's two of the same,
right?
I forget the name of which one though. You have one in the city too, but I think that one's like having issues with COVID.
Yeah. Well, your food. I was going to say your food makes amazing family, but your family makes amazing food.
That's what family is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what did you say the other day? You had a Mike-ism. It was yesterday.
Scalini Fideli. I think that's the one in the city.
Scalini Fideli. Sounds good. Sounds like my kind of food.
Scalini Fideli.
Is that your best Italian impersonation?
Yeah, I can't do. Well, I'm also sick.
Say it again.
What?
Do it again.
Scalini Fidelli.
It's funny.
How Italian was your grandpa?
Very.
Very?
Very.
Did he have the accent?
He used to eat an onion. Like.
Wait, that's what my grandma does. She eats a raw onion for breakfast.
Yeah, but he's.
Is that Italian? Because she's not.
It's an Italian thing.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
She said it makes you live really long if you eat a raw onion in the morning.
You just eat one just because. But
apparently it's good for health. I couldn't eat that.
My grandfather had he grow figs and tomatoes in his backyard. It was a good time. Miss my grandparents.
Someone sent a request to be in our live. I don't know who they are.
What's the name?
The Incognit 10. I guess it's someone trying to be incognito.
Yeah. Who are you?
Is that like the, we should get like the Arnold soundboard. Who are you?
Who are you? Who is your daddy and what does he do? How come people always send you go live requests?
Porta Liguero in Jersey City's waterfront is also Trisha's. Jersey City waterfront sounds bougie.
They also opened, what's the other one in, is it Bernardsville or Bedminster, the Montville Inn?
I think it's Bernardsville.
Yeah, Bernardsville.
I don't feel safe in Jersey City for some reason. I wonder why.
You don't say.
No, but, like, usually, like, you know, dangerous places, like, you kind of, like, will go out to eat there. Like, Jersey City, I feel like, is one of those places where I feel like I'm scared to go out there. I mean, I've been there before to, like, house parties and stuff, but I don't know.
Adrian, instead of shooting us a request to go live, our Rodecaster unit here has Bluetooth. We can dial you in and we can record you via phone. So if you want to shoot me a DM with your phone number, I think I'm not sure if I have it. I usually just DM you all the time. So
you guys like the oversized tee?
DM me your phone number. Adrian says Jersey City is gorgeous now, by the way.
It's gorgeous, but it's still dangerous.
I mean,
I guess that's like every city.
Anywhere you go, though. You know, you're going to take a chance. Like, it'll be nice. Like, there's parts of Philly that are absolutely awesome, but.
Well, yeah, Philly's been getting lots of crime lately.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically in the Kensington area.
Kensington's a rough neighborhood. Very, very rough. So, Adrian, not sure if you got my message, but. Shoot me a DM with your phone number and we'll dial you in.
Oh, yeah. Dasher's arriving now.
Brit Broad's got to grab her Chipotle.
Got to grab my Chipotle standby.
So, Brit Broad, why don't you tell the audience what goes in your order at Chipotle?
I get chicken, extra chicken, white rice, lettuce, cheese. I usually will get sour cream and guac, but I didn't get that tonight. I went healthy. What
salsa,
else?
Salsa, right?
And yeah, how do you say it?
Tomatillo.
Tomatillo red chili salsa.
And?
What am I forgetting?
Lettuce.
I said lettuce.
Oh, you said lettuce?
I think.
You say cheese? Yeah, you said cheese. We've been having a hard time, though.
You know what place also has really good food? Asbury Ale House.
Asbury
Ale House. They had the best boneless wings I've ever had.
So I'm going to end my Instagram live because Adrian shot over his phone number and we're going to call him. So everybody for joining the live, thank you.
My live's dead tonight.
You can catch the playback of the episode tomorrow. Let's give Adrian a call. Yeah, buddy.
I feel like my live's always dead. Oh, my order's been dropped off. Chrissy said it's not dead. Thank you. I just need people to talk.
Bluetooth. Oh, man. I'm still, like, such a newbie at doing all this. I'm like trying to talk in the microphone while trying to connect my phone via Bluetooth. And I'm at the point where like technology has passed me by. I can take this off here. Bluetooth. Rodecaster Pro. All right, we're connected. All right, we are calling Adrian Villanueva.
Hello?
Hi, this is Nick Santoro with The Proper Dose. How are you?
What's going on, brother?
Adrian, my boy, how's Dude, everything?
It's good, man. I'm actually over at the gym right now.
Oh, you're at Diesel?
Yeah, bro. Yeah,
shout out to Diesel Gym. Tell everyone there I love them.
Bro, you love this place, dude. The environment's crazy always, man.
Yeah.
So good out here.
I got I get the best lifts whenever I'm there and you're there.
Oh, only if I'm here though.
Only if you're there.
Oh, understood. Okay. Mm-hmm. Got it.
That's why I tell you, man. Every time I go to Diesel, I'm like, Adrian, I'm going to Diesel tonight, and I'm like praying you're there.
Jeez, man. Yo, congratulations with everything with the podcast, bro. Glad to see you up and running again.
Yeah, it was a long couple of months not being able to stream and stuff, but yeah, happy to be
you're
back.
Probably, you're probably itching. Absolutely. You're probably itching to get some content out too.
Yeah. And we're still, you know, trying to work out the kinks, so to speak, because we don't have much to talk about, but you know what? We have a good time doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's where it all starts. Start of the conversation.
The best part is now with this new unit I have, I can call people such as yourself.
Yeah, I found that very interesting. Yeah, you're so high tech now. Look at you go.
I know. You're being recorded right now. You get to listen to yourself.
Wow, that's gonna be weird. Oh, goodness gracious.
So Adrian, tell me a little bit about like your business, man. I mentioned earlier on the show you've been picking up some steam with clients.
Yeah. No, it actually started with more of a helping out friends type of thing. So currently in school for exercise science, pre-physical therapy, then powerlifting for about like two and a half, maybe like 3 years now. But I credit a lot of what I learned to my coaches, honestly. A lot of what I did learn, whether it was intuitive or scientific, came from my coaches. First coach ever was actually a friend of mine. I don't know if you know Sam Cho comes to the gym. Big Korean dude, super quiet.
I've never seen him before. I was gonna say either I've probably seen them around the gym, but I've probably never talked to them.
Okay, yeah. So him when he started me off, it was a complete culture shock. I was used to going in there. I was on Wendler's 5-3-1 as most other like beginner powerlifters are on, and I thought I had a good grasp on programming, and then he hit me with like a ton of bricks. So I started getting used to that, started realizing what actual programming looked like. And then I did a charity meet a couple of years back, probably actually in 2018, I think. I did a charity meet, and that's where I ran into my now coach, Nico. And Nico is like, this man will find any way to simplify such a complex topic. And when I started really researching movement sciences and physiology and things like that, that's when I started to realize, I was like, yeah, Nico has it down. You know, small cues, whether like he would just tell me to activate certain like muscle groups, or he'd be like, hey, squeeze your pinkies, things like that. And then I'd start realizing what that led to. And I caught an interest in it. So then after that, one of our friends, I know you know Ryan Janney.
Yep.
Everyone knows Ryan Janney in the gym. Kind of hard to miss him.
With the dreadlocks.
Shout out to Ryan Janney, by the way. Yeah, bro, you literally cannot miss Ryan. Either you hear him first or you see someone in all white with dreads. It's between the two.
Yeah, Ryan's good energy. I love Ryan.
Yeah, to say the least, bro. But it started off with him and programming. And it was a little weird because I wasn't used to being responsible for somebody else's progress, right? So that was the first learning curve, was understanding that I'm now responsible for someone else's training.
Right.
And making sure that they get it down. So that was the first hurdle that I had to go through. And then once I got a grasp on that, I saw Ryan's progress start going. And from there, it just became like word of mouth, like within the gym in the meantime. So right now we are, I think, around like 7 or 8 clients, nothing too crazy. But some really strong dudes, as you said earlier. Frank Hasselhoff is on the team. A lot of people might know him if you're from the local area. You got dudes like Shane, who predominantly trains at Diesel, but when he goes to compete, he will make serious noise, super quiet about his work, but hit it strong. But it's nice seeing these guys, you know, under like my coaching, like do their thing, because I've always been a firm believer that my effort is only as good as their effort's going to be. And if I can convince them to put in as much effort as I'm putting in, then I did my job.
That's where all work comes down to. Extremely useful nuggets of information for anybody out there that's listening to the show that is interested in coaching. It starts, correct me if I'm wrong here, but learning the individual.
Yeah, absolutely. I think building, as you said, like you gotta learn these guys. Like building a relationship is the first thing. If they don't trust you, you're not going to be able to convey them to do anything. It's impossible.
Right. And another thing too is the importance of everybody's, would the right term be physiology?
In some regards. Are you talking more like their anatomy?
Anatomy.
Like they're specifically built?
Yeah, because everybody has a different set of mechanics unless you're identical twins, but...
Absolutely, yeah. But even at that, right, like there's so many details, sleeping pattern, how you're sleeping, what side you usually shift on, things like that. Like obviously not all coaches will deep dive. I certainly don't ask all my clients how you sleep, but I can usually attribute certain things to that, right? Like if someone's shoulder feels a little bit off than the other shoulder. Right. My first question is, did you sleep on your side last night? And things like that. But definitely not part of the interview process, but I'm trying to get athletes
so,
to ask how you sleep.
Right now, as you know, I'm working with Maku.
Yes, Maku's a homie, man.
Yeah, he's...
That dude, bro.
He's been a fantastic, not only powerlifting coach, but he's been a fantastic motivator, and I think he understands me. He understands how my mental works.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I had a bad deadlift day last Thursday, and he was able to talk me out of a bad place.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely one of the biggest challenges, even my guys that face now. As strong as some of these guys, as strong as you are, right? Like, it all comes down to your mentality on the day. And I think that that's when coaches have to intervene sometimes. Sometimes, we don't want to because it's extra work and you almost feel like a therapist at times.
Yeah.
But if you want a good relationship with your athletes and you want them to succeed, you have to supply them the same tools you want for yourself.
Yeah.
Right. And having a coach is essentially having a training partner. That's obviously just not there all the time. So that's definitely one of the things like I like about coaches like that, right? Like they're there for you when they need to be there for you. They know when, you know, to kind of hold your hand and guide you a little bit, but they also know when to push you off the ledge and tell you to go handle it yourself.
100%. And yeah, I put a lot of faith in Maku and what he's doing with me, but because there's times where I come into a session like feeling banged up. I feel like my pecs are sore, my shoulders are killing me, and I look at what's prescribed. I'm like, there's no way I'm gonna hit 295 for triples on bench, and then next thing I know, I do it no problem and it's effortless.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how does he know?
Sometimes it takes that, right? Like when you are training, this is something that we talked about in the past, but gauging your own RPs, gauging your own fatigue levels.
Yep.
Like it's so difficult sometimes when you're the athlete because you are 100%. In that state where it's like, I'm so beat up. There's no shot I'm doing this set at RP7. I don't care how late it is. There's no shot I'm getting it. And sometimes it does take a coach, depending on the athlete, of course, but it does take a coach sometimes to either say, no, you got this, or, bro, stop being a clip.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Like it's all dependent on the relationship that you have with your athlete.
What I noticed too, I usually watch you from the corner of my eye whenever I go to Diesel, and I see you there talking to people, you know, helping them with their form and stuff. You have a ridiculous understanding of mechanics and leverages.
Honestly, to be real with you, as scientific as it may seem, and as scientific as it truly is, like at the very core of it, right? Like you're talking about anatomy and physiology, it is partially intuitive. Sometimes you see people and the way that they walk, the way that they move, and when you're used to watching athletes, when you're used to watching, whether it be in the gym, whether it be on a field or a court, you can kind of tell where they're strong, right? We all see it all the time when you watch football players, like, dang, like Saquon Barkley definitely squats a ton. Like, you know, unreal. You see his drive off on the field and you're just like, yeah, that dude has a very strong base. Or you'll see dudes that, you know, in the gym, they're putting up so much weight on the bench and you're predominantly like you know, so much, I guess, care and attention to that portion of their body. And then you take that down steps further and you're like, hey, are you more posterior dominant? Like, are you using your back, like the entirety of your chain more when you squat, or does your body want to be more upright? Right. Things like that. Like, those are the questions that I feel like need to be asked, aren't asked enough, depending. It's definitely improving now from what I'm seeing. A lot of guys that, like, I do watch coach as well. Carl with All Calf. He's out of Adelante as well. Mm-hmm. You got dudes like Jay Turiano handling dope clients as well. Like, these guys are really pushing what was in terms of powerlifting, right? Because it's still a growing sport.
Oh, for sure.
So, you know, like, when I see some people in the gym, you see the way that they move. It's just, I think there's an intuitive factor that you kind of just get what that person is trying to do, and you see where it's not connecting, right? Their mind is not connecting with what their body's trying to do, and all you really need to do is just make them aware. Like, there have been so many instances where I've had, even amongst my clients, there have been so many instances that I'll say the simplest thing, and they just get it. And it works from then on forward, right? Because that's what happened to me. There are times Nico has told me such small things. I mean, like, I will never forget this, bro. I will never forget the story. And this is when I think within the first 2 or 3 months of me getting with Nico, right? And it's, and you know Nico, he's a very stoic character. Like, you know, he's not very hype unless he's the one lifting or anything like that. So I was texting him one day and we were talking about cues for deadlift things. And out of nowhere, there was a time that he was like, yeah, do you just think prison defense? And I was like, what? And then he was like, you know, prison defense, you drop the soap, what happened? And I'm like, squeeze my ass? And he's like, precisely. And I'm just like, oh my God. From then on, dude, I will never forget to squeeze my butt, like squeeze my glutes from then on, you know, different things like that. And I feel like different coaches, and that's what makes the coaching style. Different coaches have different way of conveying information to people.
Yeah.
So it's cool, man. It's cool seeing some of these people.
Some of the, you know, the most common sense things to think of, one of the hardest things I had when I was benching, the cue was over your eyes. And then I'm like, oh, wow. Duh, you know?
Right. Like, and then, you know, it's interesting to see coaches use those types of cues. And then when you really deep dive into the mechanics, you're like, oh, shoot. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a whole chain effect, you know, like all the way down, like your wrist, down to your elbow, down to your shoulder, and down to your feet. Right. Like, it's so interesting. And I think that's what makes the best coaches. And that's definitely the kind of coach I want to be. Like, I want to be the kind of coach that I don't want to overcomplicate things. I don't want to only use technical jargon, only use scientific jargon. Because I think that there's a disconnect sometimes when you do hop on a program with a coach that only supplies you with all the science, all this technical stuff and all this technique, that you're just like overwhelmed with all this terminology, that you're going home Googling it, like definitions of what does he mean externally rotate, you know, like different things like that. When you can just, you know, there's other ways of conveying information that I feel like is very important for all coaches, whether it's at a beginner level, and experienced coaches have this down pat. They know the easiest way to tell you how to do something they want you to do without you thinking it's complicated. And that's perfect.
Yeah, like another example, and this one always sticks with me. When I was first getting into squatting, my brother, I was asking him, because my brother has a picture perfect high bar squat. Mm-hmm. Like it looks like one of those like Chinese Olympic weightlifters. It's insane.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Yeah.
Jealous.
And I was like, oh, like, how do you stay mindful of, like, you know, getting into that depth? And he, instead of saying like externally rotate your feet and contract your glutes and open up your hips, he's like, spread your taint.
Yeah. That's an Ed Cohen cue.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, and that made so sense to me. And it was funny because when I started getting into like powerlifting and stuff, I looked up to guys like Ed Cohen and stuff, and I was like, oh, spread your taint. That's where he got it from.
Yeah. Right. It's so weird, man. Like, the better you get, the more you're able to simplify. And I think that's what is important, man. Like, when you pass on this information next to the next generation of powerlifters, they don't want to hear you, the technical jargon.
No.
They don't need to hear that. They need to hear what you have to do. So it's something I'm definitely trying to learn as well, because there are times I'll learn something new. I'll learn new, like, protocol for, like, whatever, like, get hip mobility flows and things like that. And I just want to express it. Like, I get really excited about that. I'm like, I have to remind myself to take a step back. And it's like, not everybody is on that same technical wave, but there has to be a way for me to convey this information to you in a way that you will understand so clearly.
100%. And in my opinion, what you've been doing with these guys, especially the ones that I've seen on Instagram and at meets and stuff, it's like, I'm noticing like just an upward trend of like their numbers are going through the roof.
Oh man, I appreciate that. It's nice to see, man. Like even some of the experience guys. I think Frank, it's mind boggling to see him still improving, right?
Yeah, Frank is
talking about it.
He's insanely strong.
Yeah, crazy.
I don't understand how anyone could be that strong at his age.
Yeah. Oh man. For those who don't know, Frank is totaling 1,922 pounds. He's actually here right now flexing in front of me.
Yeah.
But he's totaling 1,900 at 22 years old. He's a 308 lifter. And even in his prep, he was hitting double squat PR. So this kid's ceiling is like,
yeah,
absolutely unreal.
He's an absolute unit. And like you watch like his training logs, and it's like it's almost like what was somewhat of a struggle like a week ago is effortless the next week.
Yeah. Frank is definitely one of those clients as well, where it's a mentality game for him, right? Because as we know, the kid is obnoxiously strong, but there's times that even him, he doubts himself, right? He'll come to me, there's days he comes to me and he's like, I don't know if I'll be able to do this. And I'm like, you know how you train, you know the work that you put in prior, trust yourself. I don't even need him to trust me sometimes. I just need him to trust himself, right? Because that's what it comes down to. And he's one of those clients that once you tell him something once, he does not forget.
Yeah. So, the only thing I feel like you could be an amazing coach. Your programming could be hyper individualized, but I feel like the one aspect that might be lacking is I feel like a lot of coaches cannot coach hunger. Like that competetive drive.
Yeah.
Like,
and
I'm sure you would say the same thing. If you want to go out there, make some noise in your when you're on the platform or whatever, you have to want to do that first and foremost. Yeah,
absolutely. Definitely something that I think is, you can potentially tap into it as a coach. You could potentially magnify that as a coach, but to give them that feeling, to give them that innate feeling of hunger, it all comes down to the athlete. Mm-hmm. And the kind of work that they put in, right? Like on our end, we can throw you all the numbers we want, we can throw you all the movements that we want to, but at the end of the day, do you want to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to take this? Are you willing as an athlete to come to your coach and be like, hey man, like I want to do more, like I want to be able to push this as far as I can, what do I have to do? And then it becomes a conversation of, well, in order to have to do this, do you need to backtrack a little bit and then launch yourself forward, or do we need to push you, right? And then it's in the coach's hand. But that innate, like as you said, that innate hunger to want to get better is, you know, definitely part of the coach.
Yeah, and I feel like a good coach would be able to sniff that out, though. Like you can tell when somebody's hungry when they walk into the gym. You can tell when somebody's there because they almost feel like they have to be there. Like they're like, oh, coach wants me to do this. It's like, yeah, I with all due respect, I don't give a shit what your coach wants. Like, do you want to be here?
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah, man.
Yeah. Like, I'm big on self-motivation. Thing, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Self-motivation is huge. Mm-hmm. It was funny. I was having a conversation with someone about that, earlier today, because he was talking about how he keeps training alone. And I agreed with him to an extent, because I get it, right? It's nice to have training partners. It's nice to have people around you.
Mm-hmm.
But what I started catching myself explaining was that, like, cause for me, I tend to train alone. Like, I don't come with a training partner. I'll run into people here at the gym. I'll go to another gym on my own. But there is something that clicks when you're training alone that you realize the work you're doing is for yourself.
Yeah.
And once that clicks, you don't, like, it's so hard to lose. Because then no matter what, you know you're training for yourself. If people are around you, cool.
It's become a bit of a meme at this point, but, like, whenever you see someone training alone, it's one thing. But when you see someone training alone without headphones.
Oh, my goodness. That's a whole different level of self-motivation. No music, no partners. Jesus. Mm-hmm.
So, like, every time I'm in, you know, every time you see me at Diesel, I don't listen to music because I'm there to honestly try and better myself and put the work in.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. I've never seen you listen to music.
No, I don't.
Wow.
And it's because I just
like music.
No, I fucking love music. It's just I can't do that. Like when I'm there to try, like I have a goal in my mind, like going to the gym. Like every time I go, it's as if I'm competing that day.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I mean, I'm in terms of music, I'm like the opposite of you. I zone out and go entirely inward for myself. Because when I go to a you know, I don't mind like people obviously yelling, hyping each other. I definitely don't mind at all. But when it really comes to super duper hype lit, I'll turn on my headphones, turn sound canceling on, and just zone in like to myself, kind of center everything. And then you've probably had this feeling before, but amongst powerlifters, I'm sure some of us have had this feeling before too. But there's a point where even though your eyes are completely open, you know, you're in front of a crowd, you hear the music, your ears are open. You don't see any of it.
You get tunnel vision. 100% tunnel vision.
It's all feel. Like you just feel everything in your body working. Like you know your cues, your body's just reacting at that point.
Yeah. And for me, it's like I get that feeling when I walk up to the chalk bucket and I'm like chalking my hands. Cause you'll notice, especially in Diesel, I chalk my hands at the bucket. As soon as I walk up to the bar, I'm tripping over a million other implements that are on the floor because I do not see them.
Yeah. That focus, man, that's like, it's necessary. Like you have to be able to enter that state if you really want to produce at a high level. I mean, some call it flow state. Some people call that,
I call it ultra instinct.
ultra instinct. When your body's just reacting, right?
Yep.
When your body's moving on its own. You know, you already know what you put in the training. You already know the amount of reps, the amount of tempo, the amount of pauses, the amount of technique work that you were doing. It comes to fruition, like, when you get to those heavier sets or you get to competition. And you just have to trust what your body's going to do at that point.
Dude, 100%. We're coming up on time here, so I'm going to let you go.
All good, bro.
Adrian, thank you so much. This has been I want more of these conversations on this show.
Dude. You've got to get more people on here, man.
I do. And you know what? Goodness. We got to get you in here in person.
Whoa. All right. I'm down.
There we go.
All right, man. Pleasure talking to you. Thanks for having me, man.
No problem. You've been a wealth of information, and I'm sure a lot of people, aspiring powerlifters or people that are just looking to, you know, take their lifting a little more seriously, they're going to pull out a lot of useful nuggets out of tonight's episode.
Hope so, man. That's the goal. I'm trying to leave some kind of impact on the sport.
There we go, man.
Yes, sir.
All right, brother. I'll catch you later.
All right, brother. Yes, sir. I'll see you, man.
Ah, so that was the best conversation I think I've had in a long time, at least when it comes to training and coaching. And I'd love to have more of that on this show. So without further ado, this has been episode 26 of A Proper Dose with Nick Santora. I'm getting some nasty feedback in the headphones, but it's whatever. And I will catch you all next week, right? Yeah, next week. I'll catch you all next week. Britt's eating her Chipotle right now, so she's not going to say goodbye, but have a good night, everybody.